means it's time. 31 days. Okay, you get the idea. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Potoween episode. Of course, what month of shows would be complete without some shows in the car? So we've got a handful that we're going to do this way. I don't know. Suck it. What do you want me to tell you? What do you want? What do you want from me? Is that what she said in Jennifer Love Hewitt in the movie she was in that was the horror movie? Hang on, my microphone is all fucked up here. I can't turn my head. This is a nightmare. This is a living nightmare. This is the true terror. I see what I've done. All right. Okay. I think I'm a little more adjusted here. I can't really turn my head to the left, but I can't see why I would need to do that while driving. So this should be fine. So our first car cast, I guess, is going to be about a book I read. Book reviews. Pete's famous book reviews. And this book has a little more to it than just the book itself, but you know, as they do. So recently, went to Portland, Oregon, with Poon Master Flex, as you may or may not know. She's got a gig out there now, so she's moving out there in the next couple weeks. So you know, that's another matter of terror, right? Because it's like, ooh, and then we're going to have to move. But she's going to be headed out there. So we went out there for her final interview and all that shit. And while we were out there, we went to Powell's, City of Books. Great, great bookstore. And so because I knew we were going out there, I looked up some stuff. I got a to-read list, and I looked on their website to see, I wonder if they've got some of this stuff, right? And I used to be a pretty big book buyer. I used to buy a lot of shit, and now I try and do less because, I think I've moved like 3 times in as many years at this point, so that'll reduce your urge to have stuff if you could not have stuff. I'm in a real rock and a hard place because I like reading physical books a lot more than ebooks. I mean, the ebooks, it's hard for me to read them. Like, I don't remember what I'm reading ever when I read an ebook. It kind of just passes me by, and then it's over, and they all feel very samey. I don't know. It's something about the way I experience books. It's important to, like, hold the book, to see the cover 100 times, all that shit. I still think the ultimate innovation in ebooks will be when basically you buy a Kindle, but it's like a book with, you know, smart paper in it. And so then you download a book and it populates the pages with text and it populates the cover and all that stuff. So basically you're reading a physical book that the type inside of it changes, or a haunted book. I guess it could be a little haunted and that would have the same effect. So either way. Someone wants to do it the technological way or wants to do some kind of fucking spell, that would be great. That would help me out a lot. So, anyway, I tried to look for some books, and when I do buy books, I try to buy books that I feel are, you know, they're not going to be everywhere. I'm not going to find them at Barnes & Noble, or, you know, I haven't seen them around, so I'm like, oh, we'll see if one's out there. You know, like one of my sort of, I own probably 1 or 2 books that have any actual value to them. And by actual value, I mean is worth $25. You know, one's a short story book I bought out there at Powell's. So some of the books I looked for were kind of horror books, right? Or bizarro books, weird shit. Weird shit that I thought might show up there. And, there was one that I got a hit on that I thought, maybe, this might be the one. And went out there and pulled some books off the shelf. I think I found about five that I was looking at. One was a memoir by this guy, Jeremy Jackson, and that's the one that Poonmaster Flex was like, oh, that looks good, and I'd like to read that. The other one's not so much. One was a book by Jeremy Robert Johnson called We Live Inside You, with a horrible-looking monster on the cover. One is was a book called Final Exits, and it's kind of an encyclopedia. It's an alphabetical version that talks about the ways we die. And, you know, it had a lot of unusual deaths in it, too. It wasn't just cancer. It was like, oh, here's a guy who fell down a fucking dumbwaiter shaft or some shit like that. And then there was the book that I bought, which is a book called Header by Edward Lee. Now, Edward Lee, I found out through some researching and through reading the book, which had an intro and a conclusion, one by him, one by someone else. He was kind of like a, you know, legit writer, right? Like publishing books under big name publishers and all that kind of shit. And then he kind of started writing some horror stuff that was really grisly, really dark. And, you know, your average publisher was slightly less interested in it. Shocking, I know. But that's what happened. Header was one of those things. It was like, I think, one of the earlier ones that he wrote that, you know, your traditional publishers were like, dude, can you please write me something I can sell? As opposed to whatever this is. And he ended up going with a small press, and it was published, and like the original edition of it was a very small run, all that kind of stuff, right? So this was before the day of the rise of the ebook. This was before, you know, your average idiot, HelpfulSnowman.com, could get on and just publish his own books and even publish the print versions, print on demand, all that stuff, right? That wasn't really a thing. So he publishes this book with a small publisher, and it goes out in the small press, and, you know, he published a bunch of other stuff like it. He published some sequels to it, all that stuff. And he kind of, you know, found a niche there. He found something I don't know if I'd say he liked doing, but that he could do and that spoke to something in him. You know, it was different. It was transgressive. It was weird. Oh my God, the traffic. I hate driving in Colorado so much, you guys. It's like 1 o'clock on a Saturday, and there's just cars stacked way up at the stoplight going just out of town. It's fucking crazy. Oh, sorry. Anyway, so he did a lot of that, right? And eventually, some of his books got reprinted. And some of it may have had to do with, he talked in the introduction about how somebody decided to take this book, Header, and make it into a movie, which he was like, I think, granted them the rights cheap, if not free, because he was like, if you fucking think that this is something you can figure out a way to commit this to film, it's basically unfilmable in some ways, because it's a lot like, it's like, you know, Stephen King's It, right? And there's a scene where the kids have sex with each other in the sewer. And you're like, well, that is an unfilmable scene, right? At this point in time, like, there's no fucking way anyone's going to accept that. I mean, let's put it this way. What was that? Moonrise Kingdom, the Wes Anderson movie. And people were like, this is a little pedophilic, don't you think? And it's like, well, I mean, I guess there's a love story happening between kids, you know, but it's quite tame compared to a sewer sex scene. And so they made this movie, and I think that revived some interest in some Edward Lee, and, you know, he got his stuff reprinted to an extent, and here we are today. So I'm in the bookstore, I've picked that one up, and, you know, I had about five and was like, which ones should I get? And Poonmaster Flex was looking at them, and she's like, I don't know about this one. And I was like, yeah, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to find this somewhere else. So if I'm going to buy it at a bookstore, it's got to be here. It was like a skinny little book, which is something I like about some of these horror books, like these self-published and the Bizarro books, something I like about them is one author in an FAQ was kind of saying, I like to do books that you can read in about the time it would take to watch a movie. So like 2 hours. And you could read them in one sitting, and you just kind of go through it as one experience. And I was like, that's a pretty good idea when you get right down to it, right? Because, I don't know, sometimes you read these books. I find this a lot with business books. With a business book, it might have some good ideas or some interesting thoughts in it, or kind of these like motivational pop psychology books, right? It might have some good shit in it, but I'm like, I don't really need you to tell me all of the research you did and how you did it and like where you were. And it's like, I'm driving across Indiana right now. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I do not care about that. Then it's just, I don't know what they're doing. It's like they're padding out the book to be fucking 300 pages, which makes no sense, because it's like, why don't you just make this book 85 pages and fucking sell it? And if people don't want to pay your price for it, you know, fuck them. The way I see it, just write an intro where you're like, look, this book's only 85 pages long because that's how much shit I had for you. And I didn't feel like putting in a bunch of extra crap just so you could feel like, you know, you got your money's worth. That seems counterproductive and is part of my business acumen. I'm going to tell you not to do things that are counterproductive just because that's the tradition. So that's something I like about these horror books, too. I think they're very like, well, I'm going to tell the story, and however long it takes is how long it takes. So if it takes no time, that's great. If it's like a Stephen King style and it takes me a fucking 1,000 pages, then so be it. Like, there's no set length. There's no, this needs to happen by that page. There's almost no rules. And I think that is something that appeals to a lot of people about horror books, right? And maybe not as much anymore, but at one time, it was kind of like, this is a very unserious section of the bookstore. Like, nobody is taking this super seriously. No one's super concerned about it. So you can kind of do whatever you want. Like, nobody's going to be pissed off at you for, oh my god, this fucking jerk off. Okay. Since nobody's going to be taking it all that seriously, you have a lot of options. Like, you can go wherever you want with stuff. You can make characters be the way you want them to. And, you know, you can tell the story that you want to tell, and you can be transgressive and weird and stuff like that, and nobody's going to be like, ah, this shouldn't exist. See, you go by a car, or you're behind this car forever, this stupid-ass truck, and he's just cruising in the left lane, slow as shit, and then three people pass him on the right, and so you're like, well, I guess I'm going to have to, he's not coming over, and then he moves over. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, I see. Ugh, God. I am the worst driver. Like, I desperately need to work a block from where I live. Because, it just would make my life better, I think. Anywho. So I pick up this book, and I start reading it. And I'm reading it, waiting for the bus, because Poon Master Flex is going for her interview. And, I'm going to ride the bus into town because, you know, I'm not going to go with her to her interview. I mean, we didn't rent a car or anything like that. We're just taking the trains and shit. So I had to wait for a bus. I had to wait like 40 minutes for this fucking bus. And I'm just reading this book. And it's pretty fucked up. Like, it delivers on the promise. So I'm going to spoil the book for you to an extent here. So if you wanted to read it, if you just wanted to read something super fucked up, and I would say that the book takes a certain level of satisfaction in being fucked up. Like, I don't think I could dispute a claim if someone said, I think this book is kind of trying to be fucked up for the sake of being fucked up. I don't think I could argue with that very effectively. So just know that, right? And also, I mean, I still have a copy. So if somebody wants a copy, you know, I've got one that I'll give away. I'll ship it or give it to you or whatever. So if you wanted to go that route, just contact me. I'll give it away. And then you can have it, and then read it, and then listen to the rest of this and see if you agree or whatever. P.S., we did the diet in-house. Well, I guess you know that by now. That got gave away. That got gave. Okay, so Header is about, I'm going to call it a family, a very dysfunctional family. It's a grandpa and a son. The son has been in jail, and the grandpa's been living, you know, in like a shack in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, makes a little bit of money. He hand sews or hand makes boots. So they're not, you know, manufactured. I mean, he makes boots, which is like, I guess that's fucking something somebody did at some point, right? Like, you wouldn't just go to the fucking Target because there is no Target. It's like, well, let's go over to old Grandpappy's shack and he'll make us some fucking boots, I guess. And so the guy gets out of jail, the young guy, and the grandpa's there, and, you know, the grandpa's in a wheelchair. And I can't remember what all happens, but basically he remembers his grandpa and his dad. The dad's dead, the mom's dead, everyone's dead. He remembers his dad and the grandpa talking about something called a header. And he's kind of asking, like, what is that? You know, like, there was some kind of sinister thing surrounding. Like, he has that sort of sixth sense that kids have, right? Of, okay, I've heard of this thing. I know the adults were talking about it, and I know that when the adults were talking about it, I wasn't really supposed to be hearing them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how when you're a kid, you didn't even, at some point, you didn't know what sex was, per se? Like, you didn't know the ins and outs, but you knew of it, and you knew, most of what you knew about it was that you weren't supposed to talk about it, or, like, hear about it, or deal with it, right? And you knew that parents talked about it, and you knew when they were talking about something like that. Because you're like, oh, well, they all of a sudden got quiet and weird. It's like I had a friend talking about when she was younger and her parents were getting divorced, right? And she just knew they were talking about something like that because they were, like, out on the front porch together talking and they were being very quiet and whatever. And she's like, they never did that. Like, they just never went and sat out on the front porch and had, like, a serious conversation like that. So she knew something was up, right? And I think that, I think you can have, I don't know if it's a sixth sense, but just a ability to absorb what's going on in a situation and know more than somebody would think, right? I'm sure the parents in that situation were like, oh, we're just going to be talking out on the porch. And her take on it was, no, I know what's going on. Like, there's something up here. This is not normal. Is it super weird and abnormal to go sit and talk on the front porch? No, but if you know that's not something your parents do, then it's weird. So anyway, this guy has this sense that a header is pretty weird. And it's something that he's not supposed to really know about, but something that goes on. So the grandpa reveals what it is. And it's basically feuding families, something they would do to each other to get back at each other if, you know. Okay, one of the examples was like, this guy's dogs keep getting out of his, you know, in his land or off his land. They keep jumping the fence and killing my sheep or some shit like that, right? So, and, you know, he's a dick about it. Like, he's not going to pay for the sheep. He's like, whatever, fuck you. And so they're like, oh, yeah, fuck you. And they're like, well, let's have a header. So here's what a header is. A header is somebody pisses you off. You go out. You capture a member of their family, female, wife, mom, sister, daughter, whatever. You strap her down to a table. You put a hole saw into a drill and drill a hole in her head. And then you have sex with her brain. You basically scramble her brain with your penis. Now, you know, there's a lot of detail, right? Like, they cut into the brain with a knife to make, like, a slot there. There's also, you know, they talked about using other things, right? Like, The grandpa tells a story of, oh, well, your uncle tried to do a header, and he used, you know, he swore he could do it with hand tools or something like that. And so he cut a hole in this lady, but a fragment of her skull went into her brain. And then when the uncle was fucking the brain, the bone fragment went into his penis, like stabbed him in the penis, and he got a terrible infection, you know. All fucked up. And so they do it. Some slight happens, and they decide, like, we're going to do a header. And so the grandson, you know, kidnaps this lady. They strap her down, and they fuck her brains out. Ha ha ha. And it's pretty messed up. And, you know, it's very descriptive. And the grandson is like, this is way better than sex. I'll call it normal sex. I suppose that a term like normal sex could be a bad one to use. But I think when you're comparing something to fucking a dead person's brain while it's still in their skull, it's probably fine to make that. I'm pretty comfortable drawing the line between normal and aberrant behavior somewhere on the side of not having sex with someone's brain when they're dead as a form of revenge. I don't know. Call me uptight. You know what? Maybe someone will be listening to this 100 years from now and be like, geez, you know, people were really backwards and uptight back then, huh? And I'll be like, yeah, I guess so. I guess we were the real monsters, you know, preventing others from being happy. So this goes on several times. Now, there's a lot of other, like, little disturbing scenes, you know, like where he's describing that thing with the uncle. There's a scene where, so the grandpa's in a wheelchair, he doesn't have any legs because something, who knows. And, you know, he misses his header days. He watches the grandson does it and jerks off. But, you know, there's a scene where they're doing it, and then the grandson is like, well, Grandpa, you should be able to get in on this action. So he basically holds him up in front of him like it's like a, you know, like he's a baby. Like he's a baby in a Bjorn, except there's no Bjorn. He's just holding him up. And the grandpa bangs the brain. So they both, you know, bang the same brain and whatever. And there are some, like, interesting weird aspects of it, too, because it's like, yeah, why is it grosser that, I mean, okay, the grandson fucked this brain, and then the grandpa's fucking the same brain, and I'm like, why is that, like, gross and incesty? When really, I'm like, I mean, you have to go really far to find something that's more taboo than incest. But I would say this is, you know, over that line. Like, we've already crossed the line of fucking a brain of a dead person. How much further does it really take anything to then be like, and the son and the grandpa had sex with the same brain, and their cums mixed together? How much worse is that, really? I don't know if it's any worse, really. I mean, it's just kind of piling bad on top of bad. So maybe it is worse. But, boy, we're talking about, we're splitting hairs here. Splitting heads and splitting hairs. So at any rate, there's a subplot that involves a cop of some kind, a sheriff or something, who has a wife who's sick, and so he's trying to, he's on the take. You know, he's busting a bunch of stills that are making moonshine and stuff like that, which I assume people are still doing that. I assume people are still moonshining places. But I also assume that the law is not making a big deal out of that, because I would think they'd be a lot more concerned with, like, meth and opiates and stuff like that. I mean, shit that you can't just make yourself or alternatively buy. You know, like bootlegging and moonshining and stuff, right? All came because of Prohibition, not because it's fucking, oh, well, this is better. It's kind of like, maybe these are like the, you know, hillbilly versions of hipsters, right? They're like, oh, this is artisanal moonshine, as opposed to that Jim Beam that you're going to get. Believe me, this White Lightning is what you really want. So anyway, there's a subplot there. He's trying to bust these fellas. And, you know, they can't really get any evidence from it because the one guy was in jail, but for whatever reason they don't have any of his DNA or something. I don't remember, and I don't watch enough cop shows to know how DNA works. I think that you have to have a sample that you match to another sample. I don't know that you can just find a blood sample and then figure out who it is. I don't know if that works or not. Or if it takes a long time or some shit like that. And then there's also, I guess, the grandpa. I mean, they don't even know if he's still alive and whatever. And they've got these boot prints, but they're like, these boots don't even correspond to any kind of footwear that we can, you know, we can't identify this as like, oh, yeah, that's a Nike. Those are Toms of Maine shoes that are tracked through the mud where we found this dead woman with a hole in her head and semen in her brain. Right? Toms of Finland. Toms of Finland? Toms of Maine? Whatever. I don't know which one's which or what's the difference. I'm reading books like Heather. I'm not really into, natural hippie shoes, okay? Like, these are not crossover items in my world. So anyway, there's a lot of that going on. The book wraps up. There's a little twist ending that's probably not necessary, but whatever. It's like, it's definitely the hard part of ending a horror book or a horror movie or something like that. You know, when you read a book, like I read the book My Best Friend's Exorcism, which was like, all right. But, you know, the book kind of toys with this idea of, is this young girl actually possessed, or is she just kind of in her terrible teens and being a dick? And is the sort of main character who's not possessed seeing her as possessed and believing that she's possessed just because they're going through the normal teenage thing where it's like, we're not really friends anymore, you know, because my friend is being an asshole. Hard to say. So, It was a trip, man. I mean, I think that I've always been on a quest to find a book that's, super transgressive and maybe even takes it too far for me. And, like, I wouldn't say this one quite made it because, honestly, it went far. It was gross, but it didn't feel... I don't know how to describe, like, why it didn't feel... It's not like I guess it's just hard for me to unite fiction and the real world sometimes. Like, it's hard for me to look at a fictional story like that and be genuinely terrified or, like, superimpose real life over that story. Like, it's hard for me to look at that story and think, what if that really happened? That would be so gross. Or, you know, like, this is a terrible thing to do to a person, right? Because it is. But none of the people in that book are real. I mean, none of the stuff that happened in there is real. Interestingly enough, too, the author said that really where this came from was kind of his fear of, like, hillbillies. You know, people in the Arkansas, Alabama, the backwoods type areas. And his sort of fear of the whole idea of, like, families being out there and just kind of doing their own thing and unregulated and, you know, when you walk out your front door and you're just kind of on the land and you're not seeing a bunch of people and you're not doing whatever, or, you know, like, the idea that this grandpa is living out there and has murdered a bunch of people and just, like, people don't even actually know if he's still alive. I mean, he's kind of a rumor at this point. Like, is this guy fucking real or what? And everyone's like, I don't know. Okay. That sounds fine. So that's like where the book came from for him. Interestingly enough, it wasn't just about, you know, hey, I came up with this gross idea. Let's make it happen. It was kind of like, what if this happened? Like, what if this sort of real thing I'm scared of turned into something else? So there you go. That's Heather. Would I recommend reading Heather? I guess here's the thing. I think that reading Heather is more about the experience of reading something like it than it is about actually reading it. I mean, this is not a book that's going to set the world on fire in terms of, you know, its tightly woven plot or something like that. But I'll say there's something pretty weird about, like, you're sitting on the train and you're just fucking reading this crazy-ass book. Or, you know, we were sitting in a coffee shop for a while, and Poonmaster Flex is across from me on her laptop, and she's working on her presentation for her interview. And, like, it's a very, like, hip coffee shop, you know, that normal coffee shop vibe. And everybody there is on a fucking, you know, super nice laptop and all that shit. And everything's very relaxed and, you know, whatever. Super normal looking, right? And then there's me sitting there reading this book, kind of looking around like, nobody knows what I'm doing, right? Like, nobody has any idea contained within these pages. Like, right now, you're sitting next to some fucking weirdo who's reading about a young man holding up his grandpa with no pants on and he has no legs so he can bang a dead woman's brain. Like, nobody has any idea. So I think that that's what I recommend about the experience of it, because I think it's a very weird experience to know that in this room, like, you're the weirdo. You're the crazy person. And no one else knows. I always wonder if this is part of, you know, like, if you're a Ted Bundy type, right? Or you're a serial killer, and you're sort of like, I wonder if as you go through life, you go to the grocery store, right? And you're standing in line, and it's just fucking boring and whatever. But I wonder if even those moments are a little less boring, because as you're standing in this line, in your mind, you're like, I killed somebody yesterday, and their body is in the basement right now. And now I'm just standing in line buying SpaghettiOs. And nobody's looking at me like, what's that fucking weirdo doing? You still exist in society, but you're also outside of it. Now, obviously reading this book is not like dressing up as a clown and fucking killing somebody by, you know, pulling their head off, right? But I don't know, maybe it's like a miniature version of it. Maybe it's a mini experience that just sort of takes you out of the normal realm and puts you into the weirdo realm just for a little bit. And, you know, it's like an uncomfortable feeling in some ways. It's like not a it's not a familiar feeling. It's very odd, to say the least. So that's Header. I don't know. I think you should, if you want to do that, if that sounds like something you're interested in, you should read it. If that sounds horrible to you and just like, I mean, obviously it's horrible, but if it sounds horrible in the way of there's nothing about that experience that speaks to me, or, you know, I have no even like dark interest, the kind of interest I would never express to anyone else, but that in my head I'm like, that's an interesting idea. But if you do feel that way, I'd put hands on it. And I would suggest putting your hands on it in such a way as to a physical copy, not an ebook, right? It's very easy and safe to read stuff like that in the ebook form, I think, because it's like it's all anonymous and you're reading it on this clean technological device. You know, it doesn't feel like something that maybe you found somewhere in a trailer and it's just sitting there and you're like, what the fuck is this? So with that, that's going to be one of your challenges, if you choose to accept it, is to purchase and read at least part of something like Header. Something that sounds fucked up. Something that pushes your personal limit. Now, your personal limit may be not quite so far, but I would do that. I would get something, get the physical book, read it in public somewhere. You know, like, you just become a little bit nervous, like, if someone comes up to you and says, oh, what are you reading? And you're going to be like, oh boy. This is actually, I use this book, and inside of it, I hide a tiny version of the script from Frozen. So, I don't know. I just found this book. I just thought it was more to my image. I don't actually know what it's about, so don't ask me any questions about it. But, yeah. What's that song from Frozen? The dog days are over or whatever? Let it go. Hey, let it go. Right here in the script. Okay. Well, I gotta go. See you later. And then you just slump down really low in your chair and not actually leave because you weren't leaving. That is the header experience. So, as one of your experiences, have your own header experience. All right? See what happens. See how it goes. I've got mostly the prizes worked up, and I think they're pretty cool. Now, you might be asking yourself, do I have to do everything in order to get one of the prizes? No. That's not what's going to happen, because obviously some people aren't going to be able to do some shit, and it would be too hardcore of me to expect that. But what is going to happen is I'm going to have a pretty limited number to give away, and if you engage in the most stuff, you're going to get one. If you engage in the least stuff, you won't. And so it's not so much a number of points or anything like that. It's who does the most is going to get stuff. And, you know, the top X are going to get something and the, you know, bottom X are not. So if you're going to participate at this point, you better get cracking. And the more you do, the better shot you've got. And you haven't just wasted your time by only reading header or whatever and not doing your other shit. Because that would be the real tragedy. So there you go. And it's going to be real limited because I don't know if you know, but this is not a successful show. This is not a popular podcast in terms of, you know, Mark Maron, couple notches above us, got a TV show. I've been obsessed since that episode of, like, what would this show be like if it was, you know, someone approached and said, okay, like, Comic Book Men on AMC is definitely based in Tell 'Em Steve Dave, right? The podcast. And it's got the framing device and the premise of the comic book store, but it's sort of like, I think it's more like Tell 'Em Steve Dave the show than it is like Comic Book Store the show. Or, you know, Marin is basically the show in TV format. I mean, the things that happen in the show are the things he talked about on the podcast and things that he talked about in his stand-up put into a show. It's almost like Seinfeld, right, where it took some of the premises and whatever, and it's like, okay, well, let's make that into a show. Or, like, he's a comedian, so we'll make it the show, and it's the same deal, except instead of just being a stand-up, he's also, it's more leaned towards the podcasting and all that shit. But what would this show be? I don't fucking know, man. I don't know. Like, what would we even do? How would we fill 22 minutes of airtime? It would be like me at work. There'd be an episode where it'd be just, you know, all my podcasting shit sitting there on the desk. And you would just see my phone light up like every 10 minutes. Because I'm like, hey, I think I left my phone at home. Will you check? And then like, hey, oh my God, this fucking moron. People do not know how to use roundabouts. Swear to God. I had this friend who was always like, roundabouts are the best. They should have those everywhere. And I was like, well, I would agree with you if people knew what the fuck they were doing, but they don't. So I can't condone that idea. I'm sorry. I was thinking that was maybe my road, but I'm not so sure. Dada, tell me I was special, but now I'm not so sure. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been a long one. This is going to be like a week's worth all in one day. But are we going to be back tomorrow? Of course we are. Of course we are. I wouldn't do that to you. What do I look like here? Some kind of asshole who wouldn't do a show every fucking day? No. I wouldn't do that to you. All right. See you tomorrow.